lived at home for about 4 years before I started college. I started in the fall of 1940. In the winters, I worked in Rickard's hardware store, and I worked around the store and for a while, and as a clerk and floor sweeper and everything else. Took care of batteries back when there were battery radios, and everybody brought the battery in to be charged on Saturday night, and took another one home with them and brought them in every week and brought their radio battery in. And so I'd work whenever I could, and it wasn't a very formal job. It was just that Ed gave me some money once in a while, and I enjoyed it. And I was helping learning radio servicing from Ralph, and did some radio servicing, and put batteries in cars in the winter and stuff like that, all those good jobs. I was learning something about it there, and then I was studying. I took a correspondence course, and did a lot of reading on it and playing around with it, building radios. I built a lot of little one-tube radios, and I think I got up to three tubes, which is a real big radio to listen to, and a battery radio had up by my bed at night, and listened to places like KDKA in Pittsburgh, and San Antonio, Salt Lake City, and Omaha, and WSM in Nashville, and back when there were Clear Channel stations, and then there were two or three Mexican stations that were people who had been run out of the United States into Mexico, like Dr. Baker, who was installing monkey glands in men at the time, as I recall. That's why I was in Mexico and not in the United States. Mm-hmm. And preachers that were selling everything, including religion, from Mexico, but they'd been run out for some reason or other. But they had these boomer stations, 500,000 watts. And so that's what you did. You listened to music, you listened to anything there was, and there were nice, clear stations. Then when the REA came through, well, I was, of course, an expert in electricity by then. I found out later I wasn't, but then people started wiring farms, and Rickard had a pretty good operation set up that Ralph would sell the jobs, and Brownie and Keith and Dale, and I and Erwin Obrecht worked with us, and we go around and wire the farms. And Ralph would come around and sell them the fixtures. And then they would all go into the store, and Ed would sell them the appliances, like the refrigerators and stoves and things. And it worked out pretty well. And Ed Rickard was a good, honest guy. He gave a good price and quality workmanship. And sort of interesting, there were still some of the old ethnic communities, like the Norwegians, Danes, and Bohemians, and Irish. There was still an ethnic influence. Like, I think it was Mads Johansson was the King Dane. In other words, he was the patriarch of the Danish community. And it was Mads' farm that we wired first. We'd wire one farm in this community. Everybody would come in and look at it. And this would be complete with appliances and everything else. We'd do the whole thing. And then they'd get together over there on Sunday afternoon, everybody look at it and decide whether it was okay. They did, then Mads and a couple of his assistant patriarchs would come in and say, "Well, you've hired these farms," and list about 20 of them, or 15 or 10. And that was the way Ed did it. One quality job and then continue quality jobs.
Tell me about your own farm, though, in terms of electricity.
Well, I wired that because I knew how to do it, and I get a good price on the wiring supplies and didn't need any help. And so I wired that, and then I was much as excited about it as my mother, I guess, getting electricity on the farm. My dad never got excited about it. I knew he was, but he never said anything about it. But I know he liked throwing that switch for the first time in the barn, go out and do chores and turn it out. The lights I had on the barn on the shadowed side, and that yard light and lights in all the other buildings. And that was a real revolution. And I think particularly for women, they had something to work with. A refrigerator was probably a big part of it. I don't think the electric stove was that big a deal because a lot of them had had bottle gas stoves anyway. And my mother never thought that the electric stove was held a candle to the old cook stove, and probably didn't. No way. She knew how to run that. Took her a while to get used to the heat adjustments, getting the heat just right in the electric stove. But it was a godsend to all of them. Pumping water was another big piece if you didn't have a water system. And if you didn't have a windmill, just the fact that you could pump water anytime you wanted it to anywhere you wanted to and fill a switch, didn't have to worry about starting an old gasoline engine or worry about, you didn't have to grease the windmill anymore if you didn't want to. Most of them kept them and just continued to grease them. And I'd start bringing home immediately, the appliances that I could afford, the small ones, and started making payments on some others, and I spent most of my salary on the appliances of the house. I guess that's probably, I wanted them as much as my mother. I wouldn't say there was a little selfishness connected with it. I'd like to say I was doing this all for my mother. I guess I got a lot of satisfaction out of seeing her use them, and then things like a mixer that you could make malted milks with. That was a big deal. Didn't have to go to the drugstore. And there were a lot of things that were. Then I was interested in radio, and now I could be a ham. I could do things that I hadn't done before with them. I think a soldering iron was the biggest deal, that you could plug that in. You didn't have to fire up a blowtorch if you wanted to solder something.